Morning birds. Hey. Someone's going somewhere. Not me. I'm hanging out with you. Yeah. I think that's an excellent way to start the morning. We have George Harrison there. Give me love. It's 4 after the hour, and welcome in. This is the 19th of April. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright, and I'm listening to my voice here. I have an allergy report. I'm pretty sure I've got one going on here, and I just it's just this time of year. So anyway. I apologize for croaking this morning. The news, not so good. We wake up to more shootings here. 3 people killed in a shooting in the Great Hills neighborhood. That's in Austin, Texas. That happened yesterday. The suspect remains at large. Shooting appears to be a domestic situation. So that takes a little bit away from that. Suspect apparently a former deputy. This is in Austin, Texas. Closer to where I'm sitting here, 3 men died in a shooting yesterday at a college bar in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's called the Summers House Tavern. The three other men were transported to the hospital, gunshot wounds. As of last night, police described the attack as targeted and isolated. They are now coming on the heels of a Thursday attack in Indianapolis, and the left 8 people dead at that warehouse down there. Boulder, Colorado, Atlanta, geez, goes on and on. In Chicago yesterday, a 7-year-old girl died after she was shot inside a vehicle in a drive-through lane at a McDonald's on the city's west side. Her name was Jaslyn Adams. She was from Oak Park. So, what do we make of all this? You know what, we're going to try to do some I don't know what the word is, gun sanity talk on the show here. I reached out to our friend Eldon Ham, who's a law professor and pretty much a constitutional expert. We talked a little bit about some of the law that is or isn't behind all that. And I hope to maybe get a psychologist on, and we'll see what we can do here. As I read this, you know, my sister, I think, is listening to us in Texas. Hi, Bobby. A stone's throw from Austin, and I sit up here. I was in Kenosha 2 weeks ago, so it's everywhere. And I would like to think that information is power. I can only say we'll try to see what's going on. It has literally gotten crazy. At 7 after the hour here, overseas Russian authorities say that the jailed Putin critic Navalny has been transferred. This is the guy. This is the Putin adversary who is over there, and he has been on a hunger strike for I think for like 2 weeks. Anyway, they're transferring him. They being the Russians to a different facility. And the Putin administration, I should say, the Biden administration says that if he dies, there, quote, will be consequences, close quote. Here's a good one. NASA, the Mars helicopter, performed its first historic flight. We're going to talk about that. Aaron Mittens, our news baron, will join us this morning. And we have some sound from that. So that is that's going on today. And all right. The last states expanded eligibility yesterday. I should say early today. On the ability to get the coronavirus. That hits President Joe's goal. The last state's expanding eligibility today, just before the deadline that he had set. It means that more than half of all American adults had received at least one shot as of yesterday. That's according to the CDC. I should note, boy, I don't know what to factor this is. I read somewhere 45% of Republicans refuse to get the vaccine. That'll make the next election a little bit different, won't it? Yeah. So, what else do I have for you today? Oh, let's go way back. You want to? Let's go way, way back. This is Helen O'Connell and the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra.
Have you ever been embarrassed when you're in a smart cafe and they play a Cuban tempo? Is your dancing quite passé? There's a studio on Main Street over Tony's clothing store where a very small investment pays you dividends galore. 6 lessons from Madame Lazanga. You'll do the Roomba and the new La Conga. 6 lessons in Madame's cabana, and you will imagine you're down in Havana. Her 4 Latin daughters will help you to start while finding the rhythm. You might lose your heart. 6 lessons from Madame Lazanga, and you'll develop your hips and your knees. By the way, if you're short, it's okay if Madam likes you. The lessons are free. Rosita gives you lesson one, Chiquita gives you lesson two, Madam gives you all the rest, and her lessons are the best. The Madam shows you how to walk, the Madam marks it with her chalk. When the Madam starts to squawk, it's her Cuban double talk. Six lessons from Madame Lazanga, and you'll develop your hips and your knees. And say, by the way, if you're short, it's okay if Madame likes you. The lessons are free.
That's a perky one. That's Helen O'Connell. And the I think that's the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra from way back. I want to put my hand over my ear. Way back in 1940 with a song called Six Lessons from Madame Lazanga here on Pirate Radio from Chicago. We're 12 after the hour here. It's Gary Lee Ryan. Thanks for joining us, sir. I'm going to give Eldon Ham a call. I think... we're supposed to talk this morning, are we not? I believe we are. All right, I'm gonna give Eldon. Eldon is our attorney general, and we're gonna talk about guns and some other stuff. Coming up a little bit later here. Coming up also, we have Aaron Mittens, our news baron. We're gonna talk about this, I think, incredible thing with the helicopter on Mars. Really, really exciting stuff. This is the anniversary of the beginning of the American Revolution in 1775. The shot heard round the world took place in Concord later that day. Wow. And how about this? It's National Garlic Day. Oh, yeah. Have you had your breakfast? It celebrates a vegetable known as the stinking rose. Yeah. The fragrant and potent root has been seasoning dishes for thousands of years. I tell you who really did it well was Pauly.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Pauly did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system.
There are stars above you. You never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you. Ooh. knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you. God only knows what I'd be without you.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
Is the Beach Boys. It's 17 after the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago on a day in which the future, I think, the future seems to have arrived. Here's NASA.
So the image we're looking at on the screen is the image from our onboard navigation camera showing us hovering above the surface of Mars. How incredible!
And that's its shadow, right, Taryn?
Yes, that's its shadow. So the onboard navigation camera points straight down, so we're seeing its shadow right now.
I can just hear Mimi in the background. This is real! This is real! It's so amazing.
Yeah, everyone's really, really feeling it now. So we're going to wait for the Perseverance rover image of us. Are you guys seeing the Perseverance image?
Saw that, Taryn. So, yes, explain what we just saw with the Perseverance image.
So the Perseverance image is showing us grounded at first. It's actually a video, which is great. It's grounded at first and then shows us hovering our 3 meters above the Martian surface and then touching back down. It's amazing, brilliant. Everyone is super excited.
So I would say it's a success.
Wait, if you just tune in here, I think we're listening to some people partying. That's actually the that's the ground people from NASA here on a Monday. Aaron Mittens joins us. Aaron, that was cool. Cool.
Yes, it was. That was a live stream from NASA earlier today. About 3 hours before that live stream went up, the rover that kind of dropped out of the bottom of the Perseverance, or the hoverer, I should say, it shot up in the air about 10 feet, took a few photos. You could see its shadow as it cast down. But it had to send that message from the copter to the rover up to a satellite orbiting Mars to another satellite on Earth, then now to NASA station. So that was a while ago, but we finally got it in, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, all right. Hey, speaking of a space, I wanted to make a note that, you and I have been monitoring Elon Musk, yes. And SpaceX is his company. And this guy is like, dude, he doesn't sleep or anything. He's everywhere.
He must not. No, he can't. No way.
Anyway, the latest, just to tell as quickly if you could, it looks like SpaceX has a big contract with the government, right?
Yes. Yeah, so they just landed a $2.9 billion contract to build the first moon lander. It's called Starship. You probably saw the stainless steel looking ship that was blasting as it came back down. Yeah. That is Starship, their biggest ship, and there's going to land the people on the moon for the first time in a retro thrusted landing. So this whole mission is going to be pretty interesting. NASA has their own rocket to get the astronauts up to orbit. And then Starship is going to already be there in orbit around the moon waiting for Orion to come. They'll connect, and then Starship would land down on the planet. And they'll have extra fuel and extra supplies on board.
Jeez, we're talking Starship. And I don't know.
I think that's the important part. Yeah. Like, isn't Elon, that's the thing about Elon. It's a stainless steel, shiny rocket. He didn't need to do that. He literally intentionally made it less aerodynamic so it would look cooler. I love that.
20 after the hour. This is Aaron Mittens, our newsman here. So on the other side of the Elon Musk story, there was a fiery crash, as it says. A Tesla had an accident a couple of days ago. And this is, of course, the I was going to say automation system, but it's really not designed to do that. Right. And that's what the Tesla folks said, that we're not thinking that you're not going to pay attention to the vehicle. What happened? Let me just read here. Two people killed in Texas. Fiery crash of a Tesla. Authorities say there was no one in the driver's seat at the time of the crash. It's not clear whether the car's driver assist system was being used. Anyway, I think that as we talk about Elon Musk and all this stuff, and there are a lot of people say, those things aren't safe. Well, geez, you know, do you have cruise control in your car? You do, right? You're nodding.
Oh, yes.
All right. Because I'm even, when I use cruise control, I'm very careful, you know? So right. These people that are thinking they can turn on the Tesla and have a couple of cold ones, no. So anyway.
Yes.
All right. Well, I want
to. No one was in that driver's seat. One guy was in the passenger, one guy was in the back.
Yeah. So.
When it crashed, unfortunately.
You know, listen, we got a, technology is, it's not perfect, and we can't forget. What's the word, artificial intelligence? We're supposed to be the non-artificial intelligence, right? So,
right, exactly.
All right, hang on a second. And with your permission, I'm going to share something from the New York Times. There's a crash coming up. Unfortunately, it's in 1928. So,
gotcha.
Stand by if you could.
Imagine a stranger spitting in your face.
Getting assaulted for wearing a face mask.
Or getting punched in the face for not wearing one.
Seeing your children attacked with a knife.
And blamed for a virus that has killed hundreds of thousands of people.
Since the outbreak of COVID-19 in the United States, hate incidents against Asian Americans have been on the rise.
In these unprecedented times, our country needs unity, not division.
Let's come together and wash the hate.
It's a 23 after the hour. Gary Lee Wright and Aaron Mittens on the Pirate Radio from Chicago show. Aaron, you and I have been talking about what are, I don't know what the right word is, but like the GameStop, these little tiny, tiny bits of speculation.
Yeah.
And I know you probably are conversant with the Wolf of Wall Street and penny stocks and all that stuff. So anyway, I'm looking at all this. The theory is that in some weird ways the 1920s are now being, you know, replicated or revisited as we do our thing 100 years later. All right. Anyway, here's the thing that came over in. I'm gonna just to share it with you. New York Times on New Year's Day of 1929. It was 10 months before the crash. The financial editor wrote of, quote, the most reckless stock speculation and of a series of exceedingly favorable factors, protecting economy, a sound banking system, expanding production and consumption, large profits, stability of prices, conservative methods of trade, labor's high wages, and increasing exports. All these just incredible economic indicators. But then things crashed anyway. So in 1923, the Translux company came out with the first movie ticker, which was, well, now those are all kind of ubiquitous. This was the stock, where the stock prices moving across the screen.
Right,
so
right.
So for the first time, a crowd at a retail brokerage could watch, right? You could gather. So they were there, and that's how they bought into this. Before GameStop, you with me?
Right.
So I'm drawing the parallel. And then in that era, they had something that preceded what we do called radio. And for example, KDKA Pittsburgh broadcast the Warren Harding victory, and radio was around to ramp up all the giddiness over this. All right, the point of all this is that and at the end of this, it talks about the price earnings ratio. I know you know what a price earnings ratio is, but that was the thinking that they kind of all missed. Anyway, does this ring any bells for you when you hear all this? Does this make you? It sounds like GameStop, doesn't it? Kind of.
Yeah, it definitely does. Especially this year and last year. Like for instance, over the past week, I pulled up the app here as you were saying that Dogecoin. You know, we talk about Dogecoin and the Bitcoins and the altcoins. Right. Dogecoin, which was around literally like 0.07 cents,
yeah,
is now shot up 450% in the past week.
Oh my God.
So when it comes to, when you see that, and then like I read this other article where Bitcoin alone is now taking up more energy than all of our solar panels in the entire country. So all of the gains we made, Bitcoin just tore that away. So it's really fast and it looks really bullish. So hopefully there's not a big correction coming up. But when you see 450% in a week,
yeah,
you know,
well,
it's scary.
I hear you. And I, you know, the proscenium over the National Archives in Washington reads "The Past is Prologue." Mm. And I think that that's kind of what I'm getting at here, that it seems like, I don't know. I don't want to be a harbinger of anything. But I haven't taken a position in GameStop yet, and we haven't done the big. We were gonna go halfies on Bitcoin. Anyway, all right.
Right. See, the thing is, if the market's gonna crash anyway, I might as well be there for the ride. But again, I put a few dollars into Dogecoin. I should have put a lot more apparently, but I put a few in there.
All right. And then finally, as we run here, you sent me something. I'm going to play the music from this, and it's a video to this song, and it's Wiggy. It looks like a bunch of robots dancing to this.
Yeah.
Those aren't real robots. Is that CGI?
They are.
Those are real robots?
So that is MIT has this company, Boston Dynamics.
Yeah.
They started in 1992. So this is years and years of work. And they have all those robots that you saw. Oh, the little yellow one is, yeah, on sale right now.
Oh, my God.
All those are in development.
All right, listen, let's make a promise to our listeners here. We'll post that, all right? This is the wildest video. Cool. I looked at it, and it's, I don't know, as you look at people that will see it and think, oh, no, this can't be real. It's unbelievable. It's a bunch of robots dancing to this.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down. Just a little bit.
I'm just doing the dance here. I don't know what to make of this. I looked at that first thing this morning. In fact, Eldon Ham joins us on the phone here. Eldon, you saw that, right?
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, like, what's a day without dancing robots, right?
right you are. Well, I looked at that, and I thought that was, what is it, computer-generated, whatever that is. It looks so cool, and that is, we're going to get a link up on the webpage here so people can play along here. And that is, in fact, I just want to credit that. Boston Dynamics. All right, so there you go. So, I'm feeling old this morning, Eldon. How about you?
Yeah, that goes for just about every day. So I won't ask what's new, huh?
So listen, Eldon, I think I would correctly categorize you as certainly a practicing attorney and a law professor and somebody who's pretty much up on constitutional law. And I would also categorize you as a gun sanity advocate? So,
that sounds like a fifth.
Yeah. So what about it? We're waking up every morning now to just more and more and more of everything. What's going on?
I suppose maybe the best question is what's not going on. But yeah, what we see is now, I think we're up to about 45 mass shootings a month, or at least in the last month. And that's by the strict definition, which I understand is four shootings in a group. So however you define it, that's a lot. And if you want to look at the bigger random ones where it's like 6, 8, 10, 12 people, those are frequent now also. And the question becomes, is that just what you accept, like some auto accidents? Or is it something that should be addressed or even can be addressed?
You know, the shooting in Indianapolis, just to grab one of those, has a what they call a red flag aspect. And in fact, this guy, this young man, had a shotgun, and his mother called the cops. And the cops came and took his shotgun away. And then within weeks, he managed to get, it was a semi-automatic weapon, went down to the warehouse and wiped out all these people. To say that was some sort of a systemic failure doesn't even start there. What about that?
A frequent objection is always from people who see it differently, is they reverse engineer a situation and say that, well, gun laws, gun regulations, safety regulations wouldn't have prevented that one, right? And there are several that it probably wouldn't have prevented. That one requires a bigger discussion about gun culture and how people resort to pulling the trigger to solve things. But different controls, not necessarily gun control, which seems to freak people out, but rational, as you put it, sane approaches can reduce a lot of these. The one you bring up is a pretty good example, because with a thorough background check, this guy might not have been able to get high-powered weapons or might have changed his mind by the time he could. Sometimes it's just a matter of delay, right? So it seems to me that we should be able to tap dance around appropriately the constitutional limitations and still arrive at something that is a rational way to stop this constant slaughter of each other. You look at other countries, whether it's Australia or Japan or the UK, take your pick, you just don't have these things. I think those countries, you talk about mass shootings in terms of zero or one every 5 or 10 years, and we have them every day.
Yeah.
So to me, it's decide if there's a problem. If there is, figure out ways to fix it. I think it's a problem.
This is Eldon Ham on the line, H-A-M. Eldon's an old friend of ours, the Attorney General of record for the show. And Eldon, I think that as I try to just surround myself with all the opinions that are that are swirling around here. You know, there's a I'm a Quora user, and I have a Quora space. There's a Quora space called Gun Club, and I read it, and it's just about people that they just like guns. You know, they're not homicidal necessarily. They don't appear to be crazy. They just kind of like the guns. I saw a thing the other day. One of these very combative points to say, well, what are all these gun people? What have the gun regulators? What have they done to get the guns out of hands of criminals? All they're doing is taking it away from law-abiding folks. I mean, that's kind of where you start with the NRA, yeah?
Yeah, well, that's the fear that they spread, but that's not the objective. That's not what people are trying to do. Some of my conservative Facebook friends will frequently say something like the following. We don't need gun control. We need nut control. Okay?
Right.
And nut control is, in fact, the entire purpose of the background check law.
Yeah.
So if you define it in a different vocabulary, people are able to agree. So when you talk about gun control, people freak out. It would, by the way, be better to have fewer high-powered guns around, because that's how people get shot on impulse, right? Girlfriends, wives, store clerks, somebody upsets you, you grab the gun, those kinds of things. But aside from that, nut control would go a long way to helping out. So,
and we seem to have more nuts than ever. I can make a case that they were always there. We just didn't see them. I don't know. I think we have more. I think the stress level is beyond anything we've had. You have people that are the QAnon people. What I'm saying, you've got a large percentage of the society that needs to be rounded up and under a butterfly net. But we now are kind of politicizing them, I think, a little too much.
I think you're right. About the overall stress level, and that is consistent with conspiracy theories. I'm no psychologist, but from what I read, people who are susceptible to conspiracy theories, and they adopt them all, are people who are actually looking for control in the world. They may hate the conspiracies or fear them, but it's better knowing that somebody was in charge, even in a conspiracy, than to have the world be completely random. Yeah. That's just too scary to comprehend.
You're right. I mean, as much as I've tried to figure this out, those of us that are on the radio, and me a lot, and of course you many, many years on various stations, there's no theory like a conspiracy theory, right? You can't really refute it. It's fun to talk about. They're all over the place, and you got a lot of people that are, you know, calling in and with their various things. So I think the thing that's changed, and your point is a great one, that it seems to, in a weird way, they seem to think that they are resuming control if they believe in whatever. And I think that makes it nuts here.
You know, go ahead. You mentioned the word fun. Conspiracy theories used to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
When you and I were kids, the conspiracy theories were more like, hey, what happened down in the Bermuda Triangle? Yeah. That's really weird.
Yeah,
or Martians or something like that.
Yeah.
And now we've got sex traffickers, QAnon. George Bush is a child sex trafficker. I saw that he's lumped in now with the group. Things that are just so far off the wall that you can't even comprehend it.
Did you have a gun when you were a kid? You play with guns? You and I are roughly the same age.
Kind of the answer is no, but there's an exception to that. My dad had a few guns. He wasn't a gun nut. He wasn't even really a hunter. We had a couple of rifles. One was a Remington bolt action something or other, and he had a pistol. I don't know what it was. It wasn't the German Luger, but it looked a little like it.
Yeah.
And I went out a couple of times target shooting with the rifles, and it was fun and interesting. I was in my early teens, like 13 or 14. Yeah. But it was never a thing with me. I did have uncles who did like to go hunting once in a while. They always had, what guns they had were always locked up in some case somewhere. It was never a thing, never a discussion. It was always if you did talk about guns, you talked about how to be safe with them and how to be careful and not to be a moron. Today, I'm not sure where that went.
I don't know how to confront the notion that that you and I are crazy. And listen, and my uncles were police officers. People that I knew carried guns for a living, and as a kid, we were cowboys and Indians and cops and robbers and all that. We played with toy guns. I mean, that was all part of it. But somewhere along the line, what used to be it became something that everyone seems to want now. They've got a gun. They've got a thing. I presume you're talking about hunting with some of your relatives, and the hunters aren't the problem. They're not the problem. We're not, but I have to say, I've been pontificating here. I'm going to shut up. If I could get the NRA on here and they would say, you know what, we're in favor of constitutional rights. We're not lawbreakers. We're not criminals. Our constituents are hunters. Right. And I would say then, yeah, but by protecting these things, you're making it possible for criminals and crazy people to get guns pretty much at will.
Yeah. Well, somewhere along the way, I think the NRA originally was basically a gun safety organization where rational gun ownership and use was the objective. And then somewhere along the way, it became a lobbying arm for gun sellers. And so now, if you have a black president, they promote the idea that you got to have more guns, there might be an insurrection, all of these different things. And so now it's just fear-mongering to sell guns. And so that the whole NRA just shifted its position on everything. And now they're in a lot of trouble, too, by the way, with tax-related issues and money laundering and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you and I saw that. I hope everybody else did. But, go ahead.
So, anyway, that's where a lot of it comes from. If the NRA were rational, they would be an advocate of the kinds of things that you and I are talking about. Sell as many guns as you want, but be rational and safe about it. You know, I'm fascinated by the whole thing with the Second Amendment. You know, the people talk about Second Amendment. It says the right to bear arms, just for starters. And everybody assumes that means rifles, handguns, AR-15s. Arms really is everything. So the people who don't want to draw lines, do they want to draw the line between, where do you draw the line? In front, before you get the bazookas? How about tactical nuclear warheads? Would you like your neighbors to have tactical nuclear warheads? Those are arms.
Yeah.
And if you do, what if they're Muslim? Oh my goodness! What if the Muslims or the Sikhs could have tactical nuclear warheads? That would freak people out, right? So the whole idea is absurd. So you do draw lines, right? It's just where do you draw them? I would like to see, I don't think we can get rid of the AR-15s. It seems to be too entrenched, but maybe you could license them for people who've used them in the Army, for people who have training. Make sure they have training, and there's a registry, and it can be a badge of honor. I have an AR-15 license. That's cool. You know, kind of play into the hands of the nutcases.
Well, but back to your point about the NRA, that's also my memory. They were like the kind of not a Boy Scout thing, but hey, you know, you young fellows, let's learn how to shoot a gun safely. But it was very sportsmanlike, right? But now, now, as you say, it's become a lobbying thing. My question is, these other countries, for example, you mentioned, geez, just about anybody but us. There are a lot fewer guns in any other. I mean, if we did a gun per capita count in the United States, I don't even know how we would do that.
We have more guns than people.
Yeah,
it's a number like 400 million, and you have 300 and some million people.
Yeah. Do you think that? Let's go back. You mentioned the Second Amendment. if I got up on stage anywhere and I started to drone on a well-regulated militia being, right? I bet I could get the last line before the average person said, "Ooh, that's the Second Amendment." So, what about that? What's a well-regulated militia?
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually looked up the definition of militia.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a legal definition, but just an actual regular definition. It says it's something like this. It's a military force from the civilian population to supplement a regular army in case of an emergency. It's what you and I would, I think of as the National Guard.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
They're kind of the military, and they get called up when there's big emergencies. And I get the Second Amendment meaning. The idea is if people have their arms and they can keep them at home, then they could be summoned up to be part of the National Guard or some well-regulated operation that's not quite the army, and have some value. And that's fine. The Second Amendment exists. It's okay. I don't necessarily need to change it, but I think we got to look at it rationally. You've heard the deceased Justice Scalia and others talk about being an originalist. You know, they look at the original meanings of words.
Yeah,
we don't want anybody interpreting this stuff. I want the original meaning.
Yeah.
Well, the original meaning of arms was musket, and now it's bazookas, Patriot missiles, and nuclear warheads. So does everybody have a constitutional right to own a tank? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So we just need to be rational. The best thing you said when you introduced me, anytime I hear the word sane, I stand up and applaud.
Well, you know, and I think, again, with this whole Second Amendment thing, I find, Eldon, when I listen to these people, listen, I'm a college dropout. I have no education. I find these folks remarkably uninformed. To listen to them talk, they have like one fact and then, you know, 13 sentences of BS. Their logic's very convoluted. And, you know, so when we talk about the original intent of the founders, as if any of us really knew those people, I don't think they had any idea what people would be doing now. That wasn't their notion at all. Again, with the National Guard, that I agree. That's what they thought a militia was. But listen, these people that marched on Washington, whenever that was, they were like, well, we'll help out, right? You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. But,
they were sort of like playing militia.
Right.
They were playing militia. It's like when you said you and I were kids, we had our guns. I had fake machine guns. I had a Tommy gun. I was in the hospital once. When I was 7 years old, my aunt brought in a Mattel Tommy gun, and I shot the thing off in the hospital. Everybody thought it was hilarious. But the people our age grew up that way, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe in our old age now, we want to play with AR-15s. It's like something that goes back to our youth. I don't know.
I had a Gatling gun. Because it was about 100 years after the Civil War. I had a toy Gatling gun. But we were children then, Eldon. We were kids. You know, we were kids, and I think in the fullness of time, I don't know, I've got some friends that do, what do they call it, airsofting, the paintball. That seems like a legitimate progression there. It's play, it's a toy, it's not dangerous. You get your jollies off, nobody gets their head blown off. I think that all makes sense. But I do think there are people out there that confuse you know, they confused something with something else. And I don't know, why do you think so many of these people feel so frightened, so vulnerable that they, you know, I've got to have all these, you know, God, somebody might break into my house. I mean, I know they're paranoid, but why?
Yeah, I think they're vulnerable, as you said before, because people are hurting and the economy isn't as good as it used to be. Used to, in the 50s, you had one breadwinner in the family, and you had a house and a car and a middle-class lifestyle, and the kids went to college all on one income, right?
Right.
So that's not true anymore. So that's one thing. That's where you get a lot of vulnerability. I think the other is it may have happened when the media equal time rule got revoked, so that you can have media outlets that just spew whatever they want as long as they want and even make everything up as they want with no ability to see the other side. And I think that's what's kind of happened. I think the thought process in America has been poisoned for so many people.
I saw a thing in a survey that came out. I guess it's an analysis, but the point is that well, we've always had, you know, adversaries in the United States, but it used to be, you know, Republicans versus Democrats. You know, it's like people that like vanilla fudge versus people that like chocolate fudge. It's basically, you know, it's like basic. I mean, that's an overstatement. But the analysis is now the people that disagree with someone else, they think they're liars. They think they're a threat to the Constitution. They never. In other words, we've lost the ability to disagree, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's a tool that arose with that too. It's called demonizing the other side.
Yeah.
So making sure that it's impossible to agree with the other side, they have to become demons. That's how you get Hillary Clinton and George Bush being child sex traffickers.
Yeah.
When, interestingly, there are child sex traffickers out there, but it ain't them.
Right. And some of them happen to be Republican candidates. I mean, that's the that's a great example. I look at the QAnon stuff. But Eldon, I don't know. You talked about we need nut control. I agree with that, but I don't know how to get there. You mentioned the fairness rule. Is that what you were talking about a second ago?
Yeah. The equal time. You know, where the newscast always had to have some time reserved.
Yeah.
To give the other side, you know, to some issue.
Yeah.
And at least you got a dose of both thought processes.
I remember that era. The only thing is also in that era, the civil rights era, for example, they'd get some dude from some neo-Nazi. Do you remember that? They'd get kind of a Klansman. And here's the grand dragon with an opposing viewpoint. So, yeah, I mean, they're, although that probably was, I don't know, I was going to say that couldn't have been worse than what we've got going on now. So, I don't know. Don't people want to know the truth? What is it?
You know, that's actually a great question. I would like to think that answer is still yes. I know it's yes for a lot of people. I don't know if it's yes for the people who want to live in a delusional world and say that the election was stolen and that there are QAnon sex traffickers and all of that out there. Maybe it's just easier to make their case if the other side is demons.
They seem so unhappy.
Yeah. Unhappy.
I hate to sound like Pollyanna here, but Christ, you know, if you're going to have a political philosophy, if it's going to be a reach, try to come up with something that at least makes you feel better. But they don't appear to.
When you have a policy which is taking things away from people, like taking away wages, taking away unions, taking away jobs, and clamping down on imports and exports, all of those things, and then telling those same people that it's somebody else's fault, you know, so they're hurting. First you make them hurt, and then you tell them that the other side that's doing it to you.
Yeah, that's been the insidious part of it.
It
started kind of with an us versus them, and then it became, well, not only it's us versus them is, those are bad people, right? And I don't know. I think at this point, we'll see. As I hear us talking about this, it isn't like any of this stuff is completely new, and yet I don't know how many days do we want to wake up with another mass shooting?
I think it's a madness.
Yeah.
And by the way, it diminishes America's influence on the world.
Absolutely.
The rest of the world thinks we are insane.
Absolutely. When President Biden says it's a national disgrace, he's absolutely correct. It's an embarrassment. You know, how can we lead? We used to lead, Eldon, we used to lead by example. We used to lead by example. And now, you know, it's bad enough that we're looking to, you know, New Zealand to see how to figure out the COVID. You know, we're also now becoming, I don't know, last in sanity, something like that.
Yeah. There's still a few things that we lead on. The vaccine rollout was a great example of a success story where the crazy people didn't get involved or in the way, maybe because they didn't understand it. But it happened. So we're still capable of it, but there are so many things, places where we've stumbled and lost our way, I think. I think I mentioned earlier the gun culture. It's just inconceivable to people in the UK or in Japan and elsewhere to have this idea that let's be prepared to shoot each other every day to solve our problem.
Did you read, I think it's like 45% of Republicans don't want to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That may take care of the problem.
Well, Darwin would suggest it would, and the problem is the rest of us get kind of sucked down the drain with it, which is an issue.
Eldon, let's table this one. Be safe.
Yep, absolutely. Working on it.
Don't go outdoors.
Yeah.
Eldon,
come to that, huh?
Eldon Ham, our Attorney General on the Pirate Radio Show, in favor of sane thinking. You have a good day.
And yeah, you too, Gary.
From Chicago, Natasha Rodriguez produces this widecast. Have the best day you can.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.